this morning. I want to to explain how to take Bodhisattva's vow. We say Bodhisattva's vow, but actually this is not only Mahayana Buddhist vow, but also all the Buddhist vow. When we say Mahayana, we also it means that something usually it means that the something superior teaching in contrast with Hinayana. But this is may not be dear understanding. According to Dongen Zenji, this is not right understanding to say Hinayana or Mahayana. From the beginning of the Agoma Sutra is supposed to be the oldest sutra, Buddhist sutra. But even in Agoma Sutra, this kind of thought is there. It says, Shijo Muhen, sentient beings are numberless. I bow to save them. The why Buddha, you know, came to this world is to save sentient beings. Those who do not believe in Buddhism come to this world because of karma. But for Buddhist, for Buddha, he did not. Come to this world because of the karma. In Agoma Sutra, they say Buddha passed away by his own choice. And because he finished his task, because he had nothing to do more in this world, he took Nibbana, it says. When he finished, you know, his task, he Dukkha-nibbana. It means that already. Purpose of his coming to this world is to save sentient beings or to help others. So if that is, you know, the reason why he come to this world, if he finish his task, when he finished his task, there is no reason why he should stay in this world. So he took Nibbana. So underlying thought already, to help others, to save sentient beings. Usually, you know, Mahayana Buddhists denounce Hinayana Buddhism. Only Mahayana, Hinayana Buddhists just practice our way to help themselves, not to help others. That is what they say. But after, when they say in Agoma Sutra that he took Nibbana because he finished his task in this world, it means that already he came to this world to save others. And various Hinayana, so-called Hinayana Sutra, we find this kind of thought everywhere. Anyway, those vows are supposed to be Mahayana Bodhisattva's vow or Mahayana vow, but it is actually those four vows are actually vow. For all Buddhists. All Buddhists should have this path. To take vow is very important. To believe in Buddhism means to take vow. If you don't take vow, life will be life of karma. Only when we take vow, our life is life of Buddhist. And how to take vow is should be maybe the most important point. How to take vow? The another reason Mahayana Buddhists denounce Hinayana, so-called Hinayana Buddhists, is they are rigidly caught by precepts or teachings. What was told in scriptures. And they have no freedom from precepts or teaching. That is another reason why we denounce, why Mahayana, so-called Mahayana Buddhists denounce Hinayana body. But when Buddhism started by Buddha, there was there was not much difference between actually Buddhism was Mahayana. So if I dare to say that was Mahayana. And why so-called Mahayana Buddhist arise was mainly Buddhist teaching of Buddhism or teaching of Buddhism became more and more concrete, caught by concrete idea of some particular teaching or some precepts. And they rigidly try to stick to the teaching. At first it was they respected the teaching too much and tried to preserve teaching and that was the purpose of the priest especially. And this kind of effort result a very rigid understanding of precepts or teaching. So, for an instance, at first, Buddha did not have no idea of setting up precepts. And when someone do something wrong, Buddha just said, "That is not right. Why don't you do in this way?" That was the precept, the origin of precept. So there was no precept in terms of don't do, this is a precept, or the Buddhist should keep. But when we count precepts in like 10 precepts, 10 prohibitory precepts, it is, you know, we feel as if we fail to observe those 10 precepts, you know, you cannot even one of the 10, you will not be the good Buddhist. So the purpose of precepts, taking a vow or taking precepts is just to, you know, observe those things literally. That is maybe the usual way of understanding of precepts. But a true purpose of precepts is not just to observe precepts so that you can attain enlightenment. Why we observe precepts, or why we take vow is to actualize Buddha's spirit. So, to take vow, this is the way. Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. The sentient beings are numberless. You know, if it is numberless, you know, how is it possible to save them? Same thing will be true with keeping precepts, you know. We should not kill. We should not take. life without reason. Without reason is extra, you know. Without reason, we shouldn't say without reason. We should just say, you should not kill. That is enough. When you you fail into the idea of more usual, you know, secular understanding of precepts, you should say without reason. If it means that if there is some reason, we can kill. By saying so, we are making some excuse to kill. But why we have to make this kind of excuse is because you think the purpose of keeping precepts or taking vow is to attain enlightenment. And if you do not kill or do not observe precepts or do not take vow, you will not be a Buddhist, or you will not attain enlightenment. But purpose of, if you understand the purpose of observing precepts is to arise Buddha mind, then when you say, I will not kill, at that moment you have Buddha mind. There is no need to think, I have to keep or observe precepts or vows forever. Even though actually we don't know what we will do in next moment. It is very difficult to know, to be sure about our future. But even it is so, right now, I will not kill. That is enough to arise Buddha mind. Even though it is not possible to save all sentient beings, but moment after moment, if you say, I must save all sentient beings, then you have Buddha mind. So So to arise, to be a Buddhist, moment after moment, we take vow. So it is not necessary to think about whether this is possible or not. When you take a vow, or when you keep precepts in this way, your way is already is not Buddhist way. You fell into the superficial practice of you should do, or you should not, or you should take vow, or you shouldn't take vow. To take vow is to observe our way. So this is one of the ways, many ways, to practice our way, like Zazen practice. So sentient beings are numberless. Maybe, you know, it means that sentient beings are numberless. I bow to save them moment after moment, continuously. But moment after moment, continuously, is not necessary. I bow to save them is strong enough and good enough. I bow to save them. If the sentient beings are numberless, we will take this path numberless times, that's all. In this way, we we feel another, you know, quite feeling of quite different quality. We feel the eternal practice of our way, of our Buddhist way. So that it is sentient beings are numberless means that our practice is, will continue forever. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. If the purpose of keeping precepts is to annihilate our desires, this vow is not possible, contradiction. But if the purpose of vow is to arise our Buddha mind, then it makes sense. The inexhaustible, it some gives us some encouragement, and we can continue our practice forever. And we we will have firm confidence in our practice, which continues forever. So we will be encouraged by this path forever. The Dhamma is boundless. I bow to Master Dhamma. Here it says also boundless. The boundless Dhamma. I bow to Master it. So our vow will continue forever. And we can believe in our boundless Dhamma. The Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to attain. The same thing will be true with this vow. In this way, we should take vow and we should keep our precepts. When you receive precepts, you know, you say, I will, you know, keep it, you say. When I give you precepts, you say, I will keep it. It is not even promise. When you say I will do it by words, that is how you keep precepts. I will do it. That's enough. But you may think, you know, when you don't know, you can keep the precept. To say, I will keep it, it's, you know, not so conscientious, you may say. When you take the precept in that way, or when you receive precepts in that way, you are not deceiving precepts in its true sense, as Buddha expected. Why don't you say, yes, I will do it? That is what Buddha wanted you to say. That's all. And whether you can keep it, you know, in next moment or next day is not the point. Do you understand? So it is not so, it is not difficult at all to receive precepts. We say so. So we say to receive precepts is to arise Buddha mind. To receive or to give precepts is to arise Buddha mind at that moment. It is not matter of keeping precepts literally. To arise Buddha nature, Buddha mind. I will do it. You know, that's enough. I will not say so, because I don't know whether I can do it or not. That is maybe a kind of arrogance, which is the enemy of Buddhists. People may say, you know, people who is not so conscientious may say, I will do it, but a person like me, who is very conscientious, will not say, I will keep it. You see? Big arrogance is there. Anyway, you know, you say, when you say, I will keep it, you know, there is no arrogance. There is soft mind, which Buddhists expect, is there when you say, I will do it. At least I try to do it. And try to do it will not be so good, you know. I will do it. You should say, I will try to do it if you are hesitating. I will do it is like to jump into the ocean. I will do it. Then there is no trouble. The other day, I told you about to climb up the top of the pole and to jump up the top of the pole. We say, usually we say, to climb up the top of the pole is easy, but it is difficult to jump up from it. I don't think this is true. To climb up, to the top of the pole is difficult, but to jump up from it is not difficult. The way is just to say, I will do it. When you think which is easier, you know, to climb up to the top of the pole or to jump up from the top of the pole, which is easy? because you think in that way, it is difficult. When you don't think, when you trust Buddha, and when you say, I will do it, that is way, easy way. We are liable to be caught by something we see or something we experience, and we never to compare one experience to the other and say which is difficult. So you say to climb up, you know, to the top of the pole is difficult. Not too easy in comparison to jump up from the pole. Not so difficult, but to jump off is very difficult. But you shouldn't say so. because you say so, because you think so, because you compare the experience of jumping off from the ball to the experience, to climax. You hesitate to do so. So how you keep this thoughts, how you keep precepts, or how you take vow, for vow, it's to do it. Without being involved in some idea of vow or practice or precept. In Japan, Buddhists receive precepts. We say jukai. And everyone says, I will keep it. And when I was young, you know, I thought this is nonsense. How do they keep precepts? You know? When they go home, they have to eat eggs, meat, and even they eat rice, that is living being. They are killing everything as long as they live. How is it possible to say, you know, I will keep it, I will not kill? But later, you know, I was struck by them when they say, I will keep it. Oh, that is a way, you know, to keep precepts. In this way, we should take vow, Mahayana vow. This is the way the Buddha's disciples, direct Buddha's disciples, took vow. Later, you know, Buddhism became more and more idealistic, or more rigid. And we lost the important point. And those things is not something which we should be told. Actually, we are doing, we are leading our life in this way. If you observe carefully our everyday life, we are actually doing so, doing in this way. When we understand our life in some sophisticated way, you get into trouble. So, if you want to study our way, we must not forget this point. It is necessary to study, of course, but in your study, if you lose this point, you are knowledge or your study will not work. You cannot own your knowledge in its true sense.